address.
We're going to go ahead and get rolling. Appreciate all of you being here tonight. We'd like to welcome you all out. It's good to see all of you. This is the Daniel County Council meeting, Monday, November 3rd, 2025 at 6 o'clock p.m. in the Wasatch County Service Building, Conference Room B, 55 South, 500 East, Heber City, Utah. Like I say, it's good to see all of you here tonight. We'll go ahead and get started. We'll start with agenda item number one, which is public comment. And so we'll open that up. If there's anybody that has public comment, come to the podium, state your name, and...
I'm Mary Duggan. I just wanted to remind everyone that we are not having an election tomorrow because we have already declared our winners. And we have our two council members, new council members with us tonight, Brooke Rose and Stephanie Grady. Would you mind standing so everybody knows who you are? And so they will be taking the seats occupied by John Blotter and Robin Pearson come January. And thank you so much. Of course, Mayor Kohler is going to continue in his position. And Eric Bennett is also going to continue in his position. Everyone else has an election tomorrow. Yes, I'm very grateful.
Gary Wolf will stay too.
Yes, Gary wasn't elected this time, that was last time. So anyway, thanks everybody, appreciate that.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, we'll go ahead and move to agenda item number two, which... Agenda item number two is the Geneva Rock subdivision update and the Storm Haven master plan discussion by Matt Lorendo. Sorry, I butchered that.
You were saying it right the first time.
All right.
Lorendo. Yep.
Lorendo. And he's our engineer, and we've asked him to come tonight and give us an update on these two items. So Matt, if you'll just come up here to the podium.
So we introduce him. As a lot of people won't know that this is our engineer.
Well, that's okay. So this is Matt. He is our engineer from Jones and DeMille. And Jones and DeMille's been our engineer now for just a little bit over a year.
Yep.
And it's been good working with them. And he's specifically working with the town of Daniel. And if we ever have any questions or if we need any answers or anything, we pretty much will call Matt and go from there. So,
yeah.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. Okay, well, I've been doing a little bit of catch up, so if anybody else that's a little more familiar can pitch into, that'd be great. But I'll start with the Geneva Rock subdivision update. Do we have a representative from Geneva?
Okay.
What was your name?
Greg Flynn.
Okay. What I've been provided most recently is a plat layout for some boundary work to be recorded with the county recorder's office. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the desire is to get some approval on this layout so that it can be printed and then signed by the appropriate people. The town planning has had some chance to look at it and then forward it on to me to take a look at it. This one's a little bit different than a Daniel typical process. You have a lot of residential type developments here, not so much industrial and a little bit commercial. So we have to adapt a little bit, if you will, to this. Right now we've just got, like I said, the lot lines drawn in here. To come, I'm assuming, is the submittal for the actual site layout and accesses and things like that. So just to give you some feedback on what we're seeing here. The The town code requires a 10-foot PUE around the property. We'd like to see that. Right now, we're looking at, for sure, on lot two, which is where you're going. And then around lot one, since that's going to be kind of county-type property, better to establish it now. We recognize it'll probably be subdivided in the future, but at least something's in place to serve as a reminder or whatever you need for when it gets subdivided. The other one that I saw when I was looking at this, you're going to need a water line extension into this property, right? I saw that on your preliminary plats, but I don't see any call-outs for water line easement of where it would go. It'd be nice to establish that to make sure that you have that rather than have to go back and create more work there. But, there's a couple of signatures that are required on here. The planning commission chair, and shoot, I cut off, my printer cut off the other one. Was the mayor or the, what's it say, do you remember? Planning, it cut off my machine.
Oh, let me look at it.
Do you have it? Like, it's like cut right through it.
Oh, dear.
Oh, it's cut on that one, too.
Was it?
Yeah.
That didn't help you.
It was the planning, it was something in the mayor, or the mayor.
Planning director.
Planning director or.
I wouldn't catch that one.
Subdivision, this is the only industrial portion. This part is not. So, I don't need to come back. Doesn't match the acreage.
Okay, yeah, I was going to bring that up. So, we've got a couple of areas here where acreages aren't matching. So, in the boundary description, we're calling out 58.66 acres. In the title block, we're calling 72.74 acres, which is also in the data table on the left. So, one of those is off. I think it's 72.74.
All right, yeah.
So, yeah. The other one is the zoning. But that one gets a little tricky. I don't know the best way to approach that. So right now it's called out as industrial zoning, which is lot two. What might be better in that data table, if we could put, maybe break that up, zone two is, so we put zoning, like two is industrial and one is, it's residential, right? It's RA1, or RA5, I think is what it is. That's not right. So if we could just clarify that, that way there's no confusion in the future when somebody comes to subdivide that and they're like, well, it's industrial. Well, no, it's not. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Okay. So we can provide some of these comments to you in PDF form. I want to ask maybe Eric and maybe some of the city a little bit more about signatures that we need. Like you said, it's a little bit different because normally we require like the health department and like fire marshal and all that stuff, but that's also because they're looking at actual improvements, right? So the only other question that I have maybe for you, you're showing the 85-foot right-of-way for the future road, but we don't have anything connecting that to Airport Road. Will that be coming in another plat, something that dedicates that right-of-way for the property adjacent to the west?
Yeah, so at this point we would just have a driveway through there with an easement through the, with the landowners there. It's all the same landowner right there. And then we had taken kind of a future looking approach here to say, we know, I don't know if it's Heber City or Wasatch County had some type of road connecting Wheeler Road over to Airport Road. And so we said, hey, there's probably gonna be some dedication right there. So we essentially said that's a good spot for it. And so at some future date, when there is a future road that connects those two connection points, there'll probably be a future plat that does that.
Okay. I was involved in the early conditional use stuff. Was there more about that, Eric, do you know?
Yeah, there was, they gave them a list of stuff on the conditional use.
Okay. Have we met that? Is it the letter that we created, or was there more?
Yes, it was that letter.
Okay. So, do you have a copy of that letter? Did you send it back in May or something like that. I don't even like that. One of them was like looking at the traffic study. All we had was like, yeah, it's good. But apparently there's a report somewhere. But if you could go through that, that is going to be critical for us as far as improving the site as we move forward. That's going to be the next step. We'll have to figure out the umbrella that falls under as far as permits go. Like, because right now we're kind of in the conditional use and the plat type. So there is a, and I can talk to Eric and say a little bit more about which one that would fall under, if it's commercial or something like that, unless you know off the top of your head right now. But as far as what application you apply for next.
Depends on what they're going to do. Yeah, it'll be up to them to decide what they're going to do. At that point, I think that's where the easement will come into play, because that lot's not buildable once it's built to it.
Right.
Standard of the town road, so I think that's coming right up. I don't think it's necessarily for this subdivision, but it will be coming, like you said, right up, right,
it'll need,
right away.
In order to get approval to build line, yeah, you're going to have access to it. And then the access to it, you're seeing a driveway.
Just like, I mean, it access like 26 foot, no, fire lane basically is so 26 feet.
Oh, okay.
Of probably either crushed road base or something like that. We talked from our last meeting, we talked to the fire official of Wasatch County to see if that would work. And he said, yeah, that's fine. As long as you have a way to turn around and get there, he was comfortable with that. So.
And where would you access that from? What road are you at?
From Airport Road.
From Airport Road, okay.
Basically, if...
When you mentioned Wheeler Park Road, you got me a little confused there.
I think it's Wheeler to the west of here. To the east of it.
Wheeler
Road comes in.
It comes into Daniel.
And then come into Daniel, and then somehow it's supposed to, at least on one of the transportation plans, I can't remember which ones, somehow it connects over to Airport Road, although I think it was just like a line drawn across there somewhere. And I don't know that it was in town of Daniel, Wasatch County, or Heber City's transportation plan. I can't remember off the top of my head, but somehow there was a road going east to west to make that connection. And I obviously, this is kind of, you got county, you got Heber City and town of Daniel all right there. I don't know if all the plans line up or don't line up, but we were just trying to think to the future that maybe there's a road going east and west connecting Wheeler to Airport.
Because straight west of the Wheeler Park Road that would cross, intersect with Daniel Road, that's zoned RA5 at the front of that, but it's also, you know, residential. This is the first I've ever heard of a road possibly going through there. Where that came from.
I'll look up and see if I can remember what document I saw.
Yeah, that's news.
It may not be in like town of Daniel document. It might have been a county document or a Heber City document. So
you'd have to go back to 2006 or something like that, before 2006, before we become a town.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah.
Any other questions you have?
No, it sounds like you'll just give me those comments. I'll look and see if there's anything else, and then we can get those back to you guys for review.
And then what are your plans as far as moving forward from there?
Sounds like we have a site plan approval of some sort after that. At this point, so.
All right. Great. Any other comments from the council?
Anybody have any questions? While Matt's here, feel free to.
So I got a water line coming in there. So is there a septic, or is that hooked on the Heber City stuff?
So there is a water line currently stubbed into the gravel pit that's there, or the concrete, the batch plant that's right next door.
Okay.
So that'll be connecting onto that and then bringing it into there. And I believe that's a town of Daniel water line.
It is.
Right. And then, yeah, there's no sewer, so there will be a septic system for their office, I guess.
Correct.
That'll have to go through the county health.
And I think there was some discussion with Ryan about connecting that to the Southfield Road water line. So it's fed from both sides.
It would be best to get a loop for everybody, including Janine, to have a loop system, because if something happens and you run out of water, I know that can turn you, that can cost you right now. So, okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How will the Storm Haven water line easement be impacted by this project?
Storm Haven water line.
I read somewhere.
It won't.
It's another issue. On that paper, I read something.
Yes, it's an item on the same.
It's on the.
For Matt.
Oh, okay.
I haven't gone to that.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
But the answer to your question is it won't. The Storm Haven water system doesn't connect into the Daniel water system.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Talking about this one.
But as far as the water line that's run to the CMC at this point in time, there's been no application applied to the town for connection onto that water line. That's not a give me.
From Geneva? Is that what you're talking about?
From
them to connect onto it?
Right.
Correct, yes. They still need to provide their water rights for it.
Yep, okay.
And then they pay for the improvements and things like that. You're absolutely correct.
Thanks, Storm.
I just wanted to point out that this subdivision has not been approved by the town council yet. The planning commission recommended approval, but it hasn't moved on to the plan, to the town council yet for approval. So that's why we're talking about the plat map tonight, because it had some irregularities.
Should I move on to Storm Haven?
Is there any other questions on Geneva Rock subdivision? No? Okay, go ahead and move on to Storm Haven.
Okay, the next discussion was on Storm Haven. Just for to give some background for those that may not be aware. So the town of Daniel currently serves two water systems. We've got the Daniel municipal system and the Storm Haven residential system, I think is what it's called. The two are separated, no interconnections or anything like that. The Storm Haven system was needing some help and needing some management, and so the town of Daniel kind of stepped in there and helped with that. As we've been looking at Storm Haven, we are noticing some deficiencies currently in the system. There's currently not a water tank, I believe that's been talked about before. The line sizes are 2, 3, and 4 inches in diameter, which can't support things like fire hydrants, so there are no hydrants in the area. There is only one water source, which is the well. There's no redundant water sources, and to add to that, there is currently not even a backup generator that would kind of help in case the power went down. So there are some things that could be improved for sure in the Storm Haven system, but as you look at it, it is a pretty big bite to take. There's a lot there. It's not very many residents. And so we've been working with the town of Daniel to see if there are opportunities out there for funding. And what we keep coming up against is, there are opportunities for funding, but part of the caveat is, what exactly are you funding? And that's kind of hard to do without having a master plan. And with the master plan, what that would do is look at not only just the hydraulics of the system, but it would also look at the improvements needed, look at some estimated costs for those improvements. But what we'd also like to do with that, and what we think that the town would eventually, I'm going to say eventually, this is down the road, okay? The benefit would be that if we could connect Storm Haven to Daniel. The benefit would be that you start getting some redundant systems in there. Daniel would benefit because of the well that's in Storm Haven, but Storm Haven would benefit because of the wells in Daniel. You could wash water both ways. You could improve just the general safety with hydrants, that urban wildlife interface is right there at the mouth of the canyon. And so we've been talking to Rural Development, the Division of Drinking Water, and Community Development Block Grant. Those are three major funding sources that we've been looking at. And all of them have requirements of one way or another to get funding. But what we wanted to do was just approach the council and the residents and make sure that if people are on board with putting together a master plan so that we can start figuring out, okay, what needs to be done, what improvements are needed. We'll look at the Daniel system in connection with looking at the Storm Haven system. That's about most what I...
The thing with that, and I don't know if you're aware of it, but there's a water system in between those two.
Correct.
Which is Twin Creeks.
Twin Creeks, yeah.
TC would be the most feasible.
Yes.
Least cost effective way to connect another system together at this point in time.
For sure, yeah. We would, that is definitely something we'd want to work with them at, with. That could look at, that could look a couple of different ways. It could be using their pipeline to connect, and then maybe they offer that to the city to then maintain. Or maybe it's an interconnection with master meters and things like that. So there's a couple different options. We do have some contacts with them that we could have them involved in while we're looking at this, what they call regionalization. Yeah,
because their water line does cross Highway 40 going to zone west. And that's the closest point to the bottom part of the Storm Haven, which is the Crazy Acre portion of Storm Haven. It's supposed to be broken into three different places. Tammy Lane and Crazy Acre.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point. So we would definitely want to involve that.
Would the water pressure be better also coming down from Twin Creeks?
We would have to install what we call pressure reducing valves, PRVs, because yes, they're...
But there would be...
There would be pressure.
Relative pressure.
Well, that's the tank that they're using now to support that portion of it is up on the hill considerably as you go up, as you cross 40 and go up to the top where the old spring used to be, and that tank is up on that hill. I don't know if you're aware of that.
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah. So that's where the tank is at this point in time. So it's got pretty good fall, you know, from when you look at the outlet of the tank to the depth, and it's all downhill. So there. If you go straight across 40 below the weigh station, go straight across and go up to where you got to make the, you can make a right hand turn, but it only goes to a dead end. You make a left and it goes around the hill, but before you make that bend, you look straight up on the hill and there's a tank buried in the ground.
All right, yeah, we'll want to talk. So part of what we're doing for that lead and copper we reach, I think Joshua called you.
Yes, I talked to him.
Let's make sure that gets mapped, because that's part of what we're trying to do with that project, is map the system accurately. So we'll want to make sure we have that. Okay.
Yeah.
So also the impacts it would make to Daniel irrigation if that hooked on to that one versus the impacts to Daniel Town to hook up to Twin Creeks, which would be most advantageous for the town and the water system.
Well, how that all came about, basically, with Twin Creeks taking over that upper end, was that we had Daniel's line ended at, typically is now Mill Road, and that was considered, back then it was called the Billy Mather system. And so they decided when our town water system, when we weren't a town, it was a private owned company, and they elected not to expand the system to include that portion of it. And so that's when they captured the Billy Mather's spring and did what they did. And that's basically how that came about.
Is it more advantageous for Daniel Domestic to take it over?
In my opinion, the answer would be no.
And is there any detriments if we were to take it over?
There's quite a bit of debt associated with that system.
Yeah.
That was a new tank and all new lines put in when they took over that. That debt is attached to that Billy Beather system, so there's quite a bit of debt.
And there would be pumping costs, because you'd have to pump to there, or if you go to Twin Creeks, it's gravity-fed.
Yeah, you wouldn't get pressure to the top of Storm Haven that way. But
yeah, it almost sounds...
There's been lots of plans over the last 30 years, and none of them really flew because certain people don't want to give up certain water rights, and that's how it always is. So you deal with the next thing.
Well, it's probably a matter of, as you said, there's 12 residents there.
12 residents where?
In that system, or 12 houses, or?
Well, it starts clear from what I know it to be just above the Billy Beather Spring, and it's from there to across down the highway, clear to Mill Road. So you're talking, what is it, maybe 20 homes, 25?
More than 20, I'd say closer to 30.
Probably 30 homes that you're talking about. And it's, and you know, when they put it in, it was all upgraded. There's fire hydrants, and there's the, I think it's at least a minimum of 8, well, it's minimum of 8-inch line. It might be a 10-inch line. I think fire flow requires 8-inch.
So are those residents to be assessed for?
They're assessed by Twin Creeks.
For the improvements and that, for the newer improvements?
It's part of what Eric was talking about.
That's part of that debt.
Back when, before they took that over, all they had was a collection box in the spring, and that collection box had a pipe on it, and that was what they had.
Well, it's gonna be this.
So let's bring this back to Storm Haven, and because Twin Creek's really kind of out of our jurisdiction right now. So we can't up to it. I mean, there's multiple things that could be done, but that Billy Beather system is under Twin Creek's jurisdiction, and so we'll just kind of leave that with Twin Creeks for now. And does anybody have any questions regarding what we're trying to do in Storm Haven by forming a master plan and this discussion? Now, if you'll remember, the town of Daniel has a master plan and has had a plan since it was put into place in 2006. And so this is part of just developing and updating the plans that we already have in place. This isn't a new concept. I want you to understand that. But moving forward, There are some things that we're trying to do to get funding in order to get fire hydrants in there, get a get a pump house. There is, and Eric and Gary can testify to this. There is a backup generator up there right now. It's not covered with anything, but there is a generator there in case the power went down. But like I say, this system definitely is in need of some improvement. And so we're just trying to pursue every avenue that we can pursue in order to get funding and see what that's going to cost to do this, these upgrades and stuff. And so Is there any other questions about the master plan in Storm Haven?
So does the Storm Haven master plan just fall under, like, so to speak, the umbrella of the town of Daniel? Like, we're separate, but we're within? Like, how does that look on paper as Storm Haven master plan, Daniel master plan? We're separate, but we're together?
The water systems are separate.
Right, right.
The town, the area is under the town of Daniel.
Right.
Right, so the master plan of the town is the same, but right now the water systems are broke. We're still on, Storm Haven water system is still part of the town of Daniel, but right now we acknowledge them as two different water systems, Storm Haven residents, Daniel residents.
Will the Storm Haven master plan only deal with water issues, or not issues, with water? Will the master plan also include other items, or is it just pertaining to water?
This would be a water master plan, yeah, so.
That's what I like, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and as you know, Lisa, you know, even if funding comes available, one of the high obstacles to try to overcome is rebate on anything you do because of the amount of residents versus what the amount of the rebate would be. I mean, you guys are already paying quite a bit for it, those that are on, you know, for the water, but there's a few of you that are on a common sewer system up there also, you know, and so the rebate factor is tremendous.
Which is why we're trying to hit every avenue we can for a potential grant.
And would this also be beneficial to the Storm Haven sewer system or only the water system?
Only the water system.
Just what goes in you.
Yeah, okay.
So I will answer one. You didn't ask this question, but okay. The state, we meet the state up there yearly on the on the septic tanks and we met them up there a couple months ago, and the septic system in Storm Haven is functioning beautifully. That gets checked by the state yearly. We meet them up there. We pull the caps on both tanks. We check the leach fields and everything else, and the state writes a report every year, and it's running very well, just so you know.
That really helped your educational, don't flush these things, really helped.
Yeah. How long ago was that? 6 years ago,
man? I tell you what, we'll contact you the next time you pull the lids.
Okay.
I love it.
Any other questions for Matt? Matt, we appreciate your time, appreciate you being here and discussing these two items right here. And if there's no other questions, we'll go ahead and move forward and let you sit down. You can leave if you want, you can stay if you want, it's up to you.
So Mayor, just for clarification, are you authorizing Matt to proceed with putting together proposals for master plan, or are we still discussing that, or what is the status?
Well, I think with the discussion tonight, I think we still continue to think about that, maybe put it on next month's plan as an agenda item to see where we go.
Would you like me to put together a proposal for your consideration? Would that help?
I think that
would help define the scope of what you're trying to do.
Correct.
And put together some numbers to that scope, and if we're high or whatever, we can find ways to adjust.
Well, and I think it would be good to have some numbers, and so if you can put something together relatively easily.
Yeah, I already got a start on it, so I'll
And then we can take those documents and put them to the council, and then we can vote on that next month.
Mary, when is the applications for CDBG due?
Well, we need to do the first public hearing in December, and then the application itself is not due until January, February.
Okay.
So.
But in the meantime, could we get authorization for MAG to look at what potential?
I'm sorry, repeat that.
So MAG was going to look at the CDBG and see what could potentially be available.
right? But you wanted to wait until we talked to the council to see if Mag could look into that more. Not Mag.
Well,
yeah, Mag.
We don't need Mag's permission to apply.
No, but he was going to see what...
We needed their permission for you to proceed with the master plan.
Right, but he was going to look and see what the potential was for planning grants or just what's out there, wasn't he?
He'll work with us, but it's CDBG, and that's Heather Mills, not Spencer that we talked to. But Spencer's a very nice liaison person to work with. So, anyway, so I would just say, let's go ahead with the master plan proposal.
Right.
And we'll move from there.
Okay.
But, so in the proposal, if you used to do the master plan, I mean, you would be looking at the amount of footage of water line and fire hydrants and new connections and all that stuff that would have to go into that if somehow get money to even attempt the project.
Yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
so what we would do is we'd break it up per improvement. So for Stormhaven, for example, we'd probably have a water tank improvement. And then you'd have another cost for water line replacement. Okay. You'd have another one for well house improvements. So that way we can strategically go after what.
Yeah, because I explained to who's the guy?
Joshua.
That, you know, right now, everything that we've seen since we took that over is only Schedule 20 pipe.
Yeah. He told me that. I was like, whoa, all right.
Okay, I didn't know if you were aware of that.
Yeah.
All right. So you know what you're doing moving forward?
I can pretend like I know what I'm doing. Yes, I think so.
All right. Appreciate that. Okay. Let's go to agenda item number 3, which is the Planning Commission meeting summary. And I'm just going to go ahead and read through this real quickly. I've asked the Planning Commission to give us a summary each month, and this meeting is a summary of the October 15th, 2025 meeting. Says Mayor Kohler and council members, at our meeting on October 15th, 2025, the following occurred. The commission held a public hearing for the rezone request of property located at 2530 South Daniel Road. That had been continued from the Planning Commission meeting on September 17th, 2025, at the request of the applicant. Mark Skousen was present to represent the applicant, JDCO LLC, in other words, PADCO. The applicant is requesting a rezone from RA5 to industrial to accommodate a concept consisting of a 12,000 square foot office shop building located in the front of the two parcels and a parking area for trucks located in the rear. This area is already zoned industrial. The only access is from Daniel Road through the RA5 zoned parcel. Mr. Skousen has proposed that many of the objections raised by the residents can be mitigated by a developmental agreement that would limit the activities that would be allowed on this property if rezoned. Mr. Skousen reminded the Planning Commission members that they represent the landowners as well as the residents of the town. The discussion moved to wondering if another access to this area could be achieved and thus respect the buffer zone allowed for the residential properties. The Planning Commission has agreed to continue the discussion, allowing time for the applicant to provide more information on a developmental agreement and to look at options. So that was their first agenda item. Their second agenda item was Staker Parsons, the owner of the property in Independence on the east side of Highway 40, has requested a boundary adjustment with a property located on the eastern perimeter of Daniel. The Planning Commission has determined that this is not a simple boundary adjustment, as it involves a modification of the boundary of both towns and also may impact the Stormhaven water line easement in this area. This item has been continued until the applicant can provide more information. If a new plat is required, the issue will be forwarded to the Daniel Town Council with a recommendation from the Planning Commission. If approved by the town council, the adjustment will need to be approved by the lieutenant governor's office as well. And agenda item number three from the planning commission was a new business license for BMAC Construction LLC at 815 East 3000 South. Brent McGuire has been forwarded to the town council with the recommendation for approval. This is submitted by the planning commission chair, Gary Wade. And I read this just so that you know that there's a lot of things carrying on in the town. There's a lot of people looking, obviously, at the town of Daniel, and because we're holding out. And we've dug in.
Good.
And there are just a lot of things going on. So that's mostly for your guys' information. And so we'll go to agenda item number four, which the part of what we read in the planning commission report will pertain to agenda item number four, which is the continuation of JDCO rezone request to December 1st, 2025 town council meeting. And so what I'm going to say, and then I'll just open it up for a couple questions, is the planning commission has looked at this. We've had a public hearing at the planning commission. We've had a public hearing at the town council, and it has been determined that the planning commission wants to look at a developmental agreement with HADCO, and there they haven't sent a recommendation to the council. And so agenda item number four is about that continuation from the planning commission to the council, which hasn't happened. And so based on the planning report and what they're looking at, I'll open that up basically for questions. And so Gary and John,
I think we just continue it, right?
I respectfully have disagree with the continuation of that process based on what we said and passed by council members in the October meeting. The HADCO representative was here, the planning commission chair was here. We specifically asked them if they had any other information that they wanted to bring before the council on the rezoning issue, not on a development plan or anything like that. We were dealing strictly with RA5 to industrial. That's what our public hearings were about. That's what our representatives, our town people come and supported and give their comments. And in that motion was made that in the November meeting, we would vote on the decision on the rezone that we'd already had two public hearings over. The planning commission, if we also stated in that motion that the planning commission would go back, we would respect what the planning commission had said, and then would go back to them if there was any further information from the HADCO representative. And he stated in the meeting, in the October meeting, that they had no other information that they wanted to send, but that we give them the right to go back and said, okay, go back to the council. Well, what's come out of this is what the mayor just stated, that now they want to say, well, give us some time to look at a rezoning plan that we could bring before the council. That's a, in my mind, that's a separate issue of the rezoning, though. We already held a public meeting for, and we agreed, all the council members agreed, that we would take that vote on the zoning in this meeting tonight. And so I personally feel, and I know that two other of the council members feel the same, that we were going to have one of the council members was going to be on phone for this meeting so that he could vote And for one reason or the other, that has not taken place this evening. And that's in direct agreement of what the town council voted unanimously for in the October meeting. So I feel that the council should move forward and do what we said we were going to do. And then if HADCO chooses to come back at us with another plan, they call it a new zone plan or whatever they want to do, they have not submitted any other application. They're just writing that on the backs of the first application of the zone change. So to me, that's a whole another issue that if they want to do that and bring before us another plan, economic development plan, whatever they want to call it, they're more than free to do that. But I think we had already stated, and they were here present, that we were going to take a vote this evening on the rezoning that we've already had the public hearings on.
So if nothing came back, then it's like...
It's up to the town council to vote.
Yeah, nothing really to vote on.
That's exactly right. That's how I see it. But we, for one reason or the other, we didn't follow through with what the recommendation was that the town council voted on last month. That kind of bothers me a little bit. So that's my statement about it. I think we're well within the town council's right to take a vote on the rezone change of HADCO. And if they want to present another rezone application, a master plan or something, on a development plan on the property, they're free to do that. But we need to, I think we need to be, try to stay on top of these things as they come before us. You know, we don't quite have the plan ready. We're going to postpone it to the next month. I can't read into what they would say, but I do know that the town had a motion, the motion passed, and that we were supposed to vote on the rezone application that HADCO had presented.
So, where nothing else was presented, there's no reason to change the zoning as it is right now.
That's why I say the council should take the vote.
Gary, is this the same gentleman that said that they were seeking legal advice about?
Yes. He did make a comment that he said, well, maybe we'll, as I remember the conversation, we may have to see what our legal obligations are. You may be restricting our rights to the usage of the property.
And nothing's been produced.
No. Okay. And like I say, they have not produced filed any other document with the town to say, we want to now do a master plan on that property and see what you think about that. Well, the issue at hand is the zone change, not the master plan. They've not applied for another master plan, so I don't know what we're looking at. We didn't get a recommendation from the Planning Commission because there was nothing to recommend, other than they talked to them in their meeting and said, well, maybe we'll do a master plan. So that's how I see it, but I'm just one person. But I do know how the other two council members, my understanding in that motion, that we were going to have one of the other council members be on phone and let him be able to vote on phone, and that hasn't happened this evening. And the other council member was unable to be here tonight for personal reasons, and he would have been glad to have been on phone also, but we chose not to do that. We chose, or not we, I guess they tried to do a continuation, and I think we do an injustice to us as a council and an injustice to the members of our community it's great to get as much support from the community one way or the other, for or against or whatever, on anything that's major that comes before our county council. It's great to see public come and give comments and give their opinions, and that helps us all move forward. We just want to be, you know, have our own little community. We want to try to kind of fight the big guy off as far as you know, try to remain rural and that kind of thing, but that's my opinion.
So Gary, here in their response from the Planning Commission summary, it says, the Planning Commission has agreed to continue the discussion, allowing time for the applicant to provide more information on a development agreement and to look at options. So to me, that kind of sounds like they're looking to maybe do something different with the property. Is that what that means?
That's what it means to me when I was first told that, but that was not what come before us.
Yeah, so they're requesting a zone change, and it doesn't really matter what they propose, because once the zone's changed, they can do anything they want.
That's exactly right.
In that zone.
That's right.
So I don't know why we're waiting, and maybe the Planning Commission, we have several here, is there a benefit to waiting for this develop? I guess there is. I guess the Planning Commission thought there was, so I don't want to put them on the spot.
Well,
I don't know.
Just to bring you up to snuff, the first public meeting that was supposed to be held with the Planning Commission, they did not, all they did was send a representative. And all that was a fact-finding mission for them to go back to Hatfield. So then that following Monday, in the October meeting, they were here present. Mm-hmm. And the discussion was had.
Yep.
And specifically, they were asked if they had any other information on the zone request to take before the Planning Commission. And their answer was no. So now they decide they're going to go back to the Planning Commission and say, well, we want to do this development plan. Well, they're more than welcome to present a development plan through the Planning Commission to the council, but that's not what our public notice was about. It was about a zone change from RA5 to industrial on the Daniel Road. And I think we as a council,
That we need to address the zone change question.
Yeah, if they want to move forward with a development plan, they're more than entitled to. Anybody that wants to can present a change. But we need to put one to bed before we look at the other, I believe.
So are you looking for a motion?
I'll call for a motion. Absolutely.
Are you going to make one?
Do you want me to make it?
Well, I don't care.
I make the motion that now we vote on the zone change that we on the Hatfield property this evening in this meeting, like was stated and was agreed to in the motion that was made in the October meeting.
So your motion is to decide if we will vote.
It was stated in the October meeting that we would vote in the November meeting.
But your motion isn't to approve or deny the zone change right now?
No, my motion is to vote on whether the zone change is yes or no.
Okay, then I didn't understand your motion. Because I thought you said your motion was to decide if we were going to vote.
Well, how should I state that differently?
You should state, my motion is to deny the zone change, or my motion is to approve the zone change, I think.
Okay.
Excuse me for interrupting. Let me point out that this is not on your agenda. You're opening...
It was supposed to be on the agenda.
Please, let's not argue about this in public. It's not on tonight's agenda. In order to take an action, this is a legislative action that you're discussing here. This needs to be on your agenda. It needs to have an ordinance number and be written before you consider it. Eric, would you like to chime in on this at all?
I don't think it needs an ordinance number unless it passes. They're voting on an application. If they change the zoning, we need an ordinance. If they're denying an application, you don't need an ordinance, I don't believe.
But even take a vote, it's not...
That's sketchy.
I see this as continuation of the JDCO rezone.
Yeah.
I see that as on the agenda, Mary. Am I wrong?
Continuation is on the agenda, but approval or denial is not.
But to me.
Of the zone change.
But the, the motion that was made in the October meeting, and I'll repeat it once more, was that we as a council would make a vote on the deny the zone request or approve the zone request.
That was part of your motion, Gary.
That's right.
The other part of your motion was that you would accept the recommendation from the planning commission that you don't have yet. Please, let's not argue about this.
No, there was.
I don't think we're arguing, I think it's just discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, I know, but.
There was nothing stated. If they wanted to bring something back to the planning commission, that was fine. But he, the individual sat right here in the meeting and said he had no more information. So they go back to the, they go back to the planning commission and say, oh, now maybe we think we will try to come up with economic development plan. That's not what was on the table before the council. What was on the table for the council was for RA5 zone change from to industrial to come to Daniel Road. And that's what we were supposed to be discussing. And that's what the motion was made in the October meeting. It was approved by all of the council members that were here. And I think that we should move forward with that decision. Either we should be saying yay or nay to the zone change that was applied to the town.
Well, you know how much
we had two public meetings for that.
You know how much I respect you, and I'm not going to argue.
Mary, there's no argument about it. I'm just trying to say what we said, what we've done as a council body. We tried to give the planning commission the time that they thought they needed because they did not show up for the first public hearing. They only sent a representative. And so we had the second public hearing with the town, and there was no other discussion, according to the HATCO representative, to bring anything before the council. And so that's why the motion was made and passed that we would vote on denial or acceptance of the zone change. That's how I see it.
I understand.
But that's my opinion.
Gary, you got anything to say?
I'm not sure you want to hear it, so.
Well, I asked, that's why.
Okay. I think the problem stems back to, we jumped the gun by scheduling the public hearing for the council before the issue was ripe, before the planning commission had had time to work through it. I think we did it out of caution that we did it in a timely manner, but I think that it's a mistake to schedule things because it can take months discussions. And what this is, it's not an economic development agreement. It's a development agreement that says, yes, it's zoned industrial, but we agree that on this property we can only do this and this, or we agree that on this property we can't do this and this and this and this. I have no idea what they'll come through with, but I feel like it's our job to listen to them, as we would any other resident if they have something.
And I agree.
Or any other property owner.
I agree 100% with you, Gary, 100%. That was not what was brought before the council. It was nothing to do with an economic development. It was strictly, they've applied for a zone change from industrial.
The development agreement ties to the zone change. Because we say, yes, we will change the zone, but you can only do this. We're in an industrial zone. You can typically do this, 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 and this. Or we say, no, we don't like it, and we vote no.
But did they bring that to our hearing?
Well, I think they heard that we had a lot of objections and there were a lot of things that were a problem. And they said, okay, well, give us a chance to come back and see if we can find a solution that works for people. And so at least my feeling was is we should listen to that and see what they have to present. It may be something that works out. It may be something that's still objectionable. But we don't know until we give them a chance to present it.
So what we're going to do is we want to ask our residents to come back to another public hearing and listen, because...
There won't be another public hearing, but they're welcome to come to any of the meetings and listen.
If they do a different application other than just a flat-out zone change, you've got to have another public hearing.
No, I don't believe we do.
I do believe you would have to. So basically what it is the application that they applied for the zone change did not include a zoning economic development plan.
It's not an economic development plan.
What are they calling it?
It's a development agreement limiting what they can do in the zone or on the property after the zone change. It's an agreement between the town, it gets filed on the deed, it's permanent, it goes with the property, not the owner. Whether they can come up with something that's acceptable or not, I don't know.
I don't either, but I...
But I think we should give them a chance to. And I think the whole problem is that the public hearing in front of the town council was scheduled before the issue was ripe. It was scheduled before we had even heard anything from it or knew anything about it. And, you know, I think hopefully we've learned that that's not the right way to do it. And that's just my opinion. I don't know
I totally respect your opinion, but it wasn't our fault that they didn't bring that information before the town in the public hearing. They were well noticed of the two public hearings that we were having, and it was up to them to bring the information to us, not for us to go out and say, you got some other way you want to do this or whatever. That was the applicant's...
To their credit, they came and heard what the sentiment was and said, okay, what we presented is not going to work. So give us a chance to come back and present some other ideas to see if they will work.
And they can, in my mind, they fully are in their rights to come and put a new application on it and resubmit it and go through the process, whether we and try to get it better than we got it the first time. But as far as I'm concerned, the motion that was made in the council meeting last month was that we would take a vote on the HADCO rezoning.
And that's obviously the council's right in their decision, so.
So I'm gonna talk here for just a minute. So I sit in a lot of meetings. I'm the mayor. My butt's the one that's in the hot seat. And so I listened to Eric this last week. I listened to Mary this last week. I listened to Gary this last week. And basically, in the meetings that we had and this discussion, and I'm glad Gary spoke. I called him on the carpet, and if I were to call Eric on the carpet, he'd speak. And based on the discussion that we had in our meetings this week, the reason this got put on the agenda the way it is because we got a planning commission. We have a planning chair, we have a planner. If we don't listen to them, why do we even have a planning commission? Why? I mean, honestly, we could just cut the planning commission out and say the council's going to make the decision. Or we can go through the process and do the process and hopefully save some court costs and some attorney fees and everything else. And so the reason that this item is put on this agenda the way it is tonight is because of the discussion that we had preparing the agenda with people that I respect and people that I trust. And so tonight on this agenda it says continuation of the JDCO rezone request to the December 1st meeting, town council, which gives the time for the planning commission to review what they need to review and go from there. And so I will call for a motion on agenda item number 4.
Scott?
So yes.
Before you do that, there's no guarantee that planning's going to be done with this by December. We've got some taking year.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't base it on
a day.
It's going to happen on that day.
Okay.
So my concern is if this thing gets changed and rezoned to industrial, the whole development agreement, I guess the development agreement could stand, but like Gary said, that might be a year out, and that can take place after a zoning decision has been made.
No.
Why can't they come up with it?
We will make that decision without, I mean, the way it looks right now, yeah, we could say, okay, zone it industrial, then they can do everything. What we want to do is say, if we are going to rezone it industrial, what promises are you going to make? And if those are sufficient, then we may vote to recommend that you approve the zoning. If they're not, we may recommend that you don't approve the zoning. So they're really tied together, because that'll go on the deed at the time of the rezoning, so that those restrictions are permanently in place. So it is tied together.
I think it can be tied, it certainly can be, but I don't know if it has to be. And you guys know more than I do, but.
Well.
Okay. So say, for example, we vote to deny it, it stays residential. We're not gonna do a development agreement at that point, because that would be expanding the residential use. So what we're saying is, in order to approve this zone change, what is that going to mean to the town? What are you willing to give up? And they may come up with a solution, they may not, I don't know.
But don't you think we could come up with a development agreement under RE5?
No, because that would probably, for what they want to do, that would be expanding use in RA5, and we'd have to let everyone else expand.
They haven't come to us with a plan.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. We need to take the vote on the rezone now, and let them come back to the council and say, this is what we want to try to present to you and see if it will be accepted. But we're not denying them anything. We're still giving them the rights to do whatever they want.
Right, but they'd have to come back in with the rezone request again.
To go against what we voted on last month, and to flat out say we're gonna disregard what the council voted on, is not right. All the council members voted on that.
Right.
And to vote and to not.
And you have the right to do that. I'm just saying it came to the council before it was right, before it was ready, and that's causing a problem. You guys are welcome to vote on it, and in fact, planning would be happy if you did, because then we don't have to deal with it.
That's right.
Yes, but they've already read what Scott Keel has been doing, and they already sit there and watch back there by what Coleman's doing. So what difference is it going to make?
In talking with the other council members, I think it would be very shameful for us to deny what was already said in the October meeting on the motion that was made and agreed upon. And even though the two of those council members are going to be moving on, it was still agreed upon by the council. And I think we should abide by what we said we were going to do. And all that is to take a vote on the zoning change from RA5 to industrial. If they want to do the economic development plan or whatever you want to call it, whatever they want to bring before, submit another application to us and we'll run through the process and maybe we'll get it right better the next time. But right now, I don't think that we've done anything that isn't in the council's rights to do. I mean, we didn't get a recommendation from the Planning Commission other than they come and said, well, we want to try to do a rezone based on a development plan or something we can make up. That wasn't what their original application was about. It was just a zone change, period. RA5 to industrial. Have they made any other application to the town, Eric?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, call for a motion.
You want me to make a motion?
Absolutely.
I would make a motion that we vote on the rezone of the Hadco property on Daniel Road based on what our council members stated in the October meeting, the they all agreed that's what we would do in this meeting tonight, even though two of them are missing. But the intent was to have at least one of them was going to be on.
So this motion's like a mile long right now, Gary.
Well, I can shorten it.
Yeah, sure.
Let's just take the vote on the HADCO.
So make a really short, clear motion if you can.
Okay. I think that we should take vote on the rezoning of the HADCO property on whatever the address is on it, Daniel Road.
So application from
RA5 to industrial.
So Gary, your motion is to take a vote. I think your motion has to be to deny or accept the rezoning change, right?
I can't tell you which way to vote.
I know you can't tell me which way to vote, but you can tell me what I'm voting on.
Oh, okay.
And then, right, am I right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So I make a motion that we deny or accept the zone change on the HADCO property.
You can't deny or accept. You have to say
one or the other.
One or the other. I make a motion that we deny the.
Okay, I make a motion. I make a motion that we deny the HADCO rezone application.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Call for a vote.
What's your vote?
I vote no, that we do not accept it. We do not.
Okay, we're really confused, I think. Let's do a reboot. And what needs to be done, Gary, is we need to make a motion to accept the zone change, the zone application, or deny it.
What did I say? Did I say deny?
I don't know for
sure. What did I say?
Yes, you made a motion to deny.
Okay.
And then they were going to do the roll call.
Okay, and the call is Walton?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that's what we're going for.
So are we good with this in minutes?
So the motion is to deny the application. Yeah.
And I have you, John, as seconding.
Okay.
The motion to deny.
And that's crystal to you, Gary. Clear.
Let me borrow your glasses.
I don't know that they're helping me. Okay, so.
Yes, yes.
So I vote yes to deny the zone change.
Kohler, yes.
Got it.
Sorry,
I needed to make sure I understood what you were saying. So it's my fault, sorry.
Yeah. So there we go. Agenda, we're moving on to agenda item number 5, which is business licenses. We have one new business license. It's BMAC Construction, LLC. The name of the applicant is Brent McGuire. His physical address is 815 East, 3000 South. The nature of his business is construction. We have an approval from a recommendation from the Planning Commission to approve this. I'll call for a motion on this business license.
So do we have like a lot of equipment coming in, heavy, you know, backhoes, track hoes?
I believe he's an electrical contractor.
Okay.
If I remember right.
He's upgrading the McLean's.
He's upgrading the McLean residence right now.
Yeah. Oh.
So he applied for a business license. So he is an electrical contractor.
Okay.
So I'll call for a motion on that.
Motion to approve the business license for BMAC Construction.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second it.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Blatter, yes.
Kohler, yes. Okay, we have the next item is renewals. We have 4 businesses up for renewal. We have the Greenhouse Group, which the name of the applicant is Rich Martin. His physical address is 501 West, 3000 South. He has a project management company. Works out of his home, I believe. 501 West, 3000 South. We also have a renewal for bow and arrow ordinance. which is Jordan Rude, 481 East Yankum Road, Danville, Utah. His business has a state license, builds silencers and different things like that. That's the old Ron Hinckley property for those that have lived in Daniels for a long time and know where that is. That's a renewal. We also have Gibbons Grooming, Julie Gibbons, 464 West, 3000 South, dog grooming. She's been in business for several years and grooms dogs. And we have West Lane Designs, that's also Julie Gibbons, 464 West, 3000 South. Printing company. All of these renewals come to us with no complaints, and like I say, they've been in business, most of them, for several years now. So,
motion to approve the renewals.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Lutter, yes.
Kohler, yes. Okay, we'll go to agenda item number 6, which is council reports. I'll start with you, Gary.
I probably said enough tonight, so. I think Dave is going to come up to snuff on some of the water. Is that correct? Is that what you want to do?
Correct.
Okay, so.
So is Dave going to be our water master?
He is our.
We'll get him up here in front here in just a minute. I'll put him on the spot here in just a jiffy sec. I like doing that.
Okay. Okay. I don't think I have anything, Mayor.
Okay. I'll keep what I really don't have a lot. The crack seal project is done. Most of the roads in Daniel was crack sealed. I talked to Ryan Taylor on Friday. Him and I have rode portions of the road. We feel like they did a pretty decent job. We approved $15,000 for the crack seal project, and they stretched it a little bit, so there was a little bit of area that might not have been done as good as the other part, but we feel like after Ryan and I rode the roads, they look pretty good. So I can't think of anything else right now that's pertinent in this meeting, and so we'll go to the planning report, which you see is agenda item number 7. If you want to just briefly scan down through that and look at all the things that we got going on here in the town of Daniel. If you have any questions, we'll have Eric address those.
So on the Ryan Simpson building, have they asked for an extension?
No, we extended that once. That extension has expired now.
That's what I thought. So, but he's not come back again. And we won't automatically do an extension.
No, he will. He'll
have to apply.
Yep. Okay. Well, I shouldn't say that. He may approach the planning commission. They may let him.
Whatever happens. Yes.
Yes, it's a new application.
As you guys can see, there's plenty going on in the little town of Daniel. I'll address a couple items down here in the very bottom on underneath the complaints and the legal actions. The too many animals on 3395 South 600 East, they were served notice. And if you drive by there today, there's 3 horses and a few donkeys and just a very minimal amount of animals on there. Compared to literally there was about 60 horses on there and goats and pigs and dogs and sheep. And so they have taken care of that. The complaint up on 3000 South and Mill Road, the house on the corner. They've been served. They're in the process of becoming compliant on that. That's there's been a couple of questions about that. They have moved a double light on there that they're putting a tarp over the roof. I've been watching that pretty closely. I don't see anybody living in that, but they have been served by legal. And the other two, they're at the bottom. The attorneys are on top of that, and we'll update you as we can. As the attorneys address us, we'll be able to address the other two, but they, all of those are with legal. So
on the 3000 South Mill Road complaint, that does not include the multifamilies living in the back.
That is exactly what that complaint is. They've been served
as building removal, but it's also occupancy on the property. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
There was no proof of other occupancy on the property.
There wasn't.
No.
I guess we should take some pictures, huh?
Yeah. That'd be good.
Yeah, I watched some single file out of there the other day. So.
That'd been a good picture to have. What we could substantiate was they moved that.
So right building. Now this is only dealing with just the movable of that building on site?
Yes.
Okay, that's why I wanted to clarify.
Multiple, well, it states multiple dwelling units on site.
Okay.
So it could encompass that. The notice has been sent. There are 30 days, I think, is almost up.
Yep.
Thank you.
We'll send the Border Patrol over.
Okay, Eric, do you have anything else on the planning report you want to discuss or talk about?
Nope.
Okay. We'll go to agenda item number 8, which is the Storm Haven and Daniel Water System report. And Dave, if you'll come up here to the podium tonight. This is Dave Hilson, and Dave is our new water master. And he is the one that's doing all the sampling now and doing all the cleaning at the water systems. And he's been with us now a couple months. Dave, appreciate you being here tonight. I felt like it was important that we get you here and get you introduced. And basically, from here on out, each month, you'll come and basically give us the Storm Haven and Daniel Water System report, and go ahead and give us a reporting of what you're finding. I'm sure it'll be brief.
Yeah, not a whole lot. We're just catching up on all the sampling, grinding up and get the quarterly reports all taken care of, so they're all in, and just getting more core samples done, caught up on some of the others. We did get some, I don't know if you'd call it funding, but for the sampling for the Storm Haven and Daniel, the PFAS, the PFAS, some, it's pretty expensive sampling, but they're going to help us out. They're going to send us boxes in December and June for those, because they have to be done two separate times from 5 to 7 months apart, so we're going to do those. They coordinate with that. They're going to send us the boxes on December and June, so at the office you probably want to watch for those.
Okay.
It's a big box like this, but there'll be one for Daniel, one for Storm Haven.
Okay.
Sometime the 1st of December, so we'll get those all taken care of, and then just some general maintenance ideas and things we got to start working on, some hydrants and some meters, so about it.
Okay, appreciate that. Thanks, Dave. You can stay or you can go. Whatever you'd like to do.
Hey,
Dave.
Yes.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that. And normally, I would have asked if anybody had questions, but both systems are running pretty good right now. We do have about 20 some odd meters that aren't reading right now. And like we talked about in last meeting, our water heater broke, and so we're in the process of, we're using a loaner right now. Gary can address this, or he knows a little better than what I do, but we're using a loaner right now. We have ordered a new one. When we get that new reader, we'll put that to work, and that'll be how we read our meters. So systems are running good.
Just a note on the reader, I tried to contact you about that the other day. The loaner they give us, for one reason or another, and we're still trying to figure it out, did not read correctly. And so I've got a couple guys from Match Meter that are trying to work on that and figure out where it went. It went to Chris. Chris couldn't figure out what it was. And so there's a possibility that the water billing will go out, but it will go out just as a flat rate billing.
Okay. Very good. And that's, you know, that's while we're working on this, yeah, we'll, that's what we'll do. And then once we get a new reader.
Huh? Good, it's winter.
Yeah. Better taken care of. Okay.
Mayor, are those meters that are not reading, are they on Stormhaven or Daniel?
Most of them are in Daniel.
Most of them are in Daniel. But.
Yeah. I think there was one on in Crazy Acres this time. But all the ones in Stormhaven are reading that.
Well, last month there was 27 meters. We have an idea what it was by Friday. So.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to agenda item number 9, which is the recorder's office warrants approval and announcements. And I'll just turn a little bit of time over to Megan if you have any questions or anything about the warrants. Megan's here and can address those.
Yep. I also included the first quarter budget update, so if you want to look over that as well, you can see the percentages and where we're sitting after the first quarter.
Megan?
Yeah.
I'm not on the warrants, but I think myself in
the sorry about that. I'll fix it.
Yeah. That's just a give me every month.
I know. That's an easy one. Sorry, I missed you.
So you'll just make that change?
Yeah.
On there.
So let's see. The quarterly, I don't see that.
I don't see the quarterly.
Oh, you don't?
Yeah, it's not my packet.
It's not
here. Oh, I probably scanned it when I emailed it to you and included in the packet.
You can take that with you.
Yeah,
you can,
yeah, I don't need it.
We'll print a couple more off in town hall.
Sorry about that. It should be in the packet that I sent you to. Did you see it in the packet, Eric?
No, not in this packet.
But in the one I emailed.
I didn't print one off.
You didn't scan through.
Okay, so I'll call for a motion.
Motion to approve the warrants.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Call for a vote.
Yes.
Flurry, yes.
Kohler, yes. Let's go to agenda item number 10, which is the approval of council minutes for October 6th, 2025.
I finally found one typo.
Oh, no. Tell me where it's at.
I didn't even bring it up.
Well, you went all that effort to find it.
On page 7,
okay,
the first paragraph,
mm-hmm,
the second to the last sentence should be, I think it should be, they will be billed by the hour, instead of,
yep,
the will be billed by the hour.
Thank you. Got it.
But you get paid the
big yeah. And just, these are awesome.
Did it, okay.
So well done.
I just have a couple of.
So yeah, I never got yours.
So that's the red line.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
So I'll call for a motion when we're ready.
Anything major there, Eric?
No. Little typos. Clarification for the attorney.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Perfect.
With corrections.
I second it.
Call for a vote.
Vote, yes.
Blair, yes.
Kohler, yes. Okay, let's go. There,
It's not in there.
Number 11, there won't be a closed session tonight. And let's go, I'll call for a motion on agenda item number 12.
I make a motion that we adjourn November 3rd meeting.
Second.
Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Oh, yes.
Fuller, yes. Thank you guys for being here. Have a good evening.